Following total atomic annihilation, the rebuilding of this great nation of ours may fall to you. That's why we here at Vault Boys WB will take you on an oral tour of the beautiful state of West Virginia. There's no other place to be better prepared for the impending fallout. Now we go live to our team of experts.
Hello and welcome to the real episode one of Vault Boys WV, coming at you live from the capital of West Virginia. I'm your Appalachian scribe, Dave Chaffins, and joining me, Austin O'Connor. How you doing, Austin?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How's your week?
It's been a long one.
It's been a hot one.
It's been a stressful one.
What's stressful?
Just a lot of projects going on all at once.
Yeah? You've been designing some stuff, getting some stuff together?
We're trying to. We'll see how it turns out in the end. I work on one thing until my brain hurts, and then I switch over to another, and it's just a vicious cycle until they're finished, but yeah.
Well, I've got a surprise for you.
Okay.
So I've had some dental work done this week, and on Monday I had 3 cavities filled, and today at 3 o'clock I had 2 other cavities filled, and I can't feel my bottom lip whatsoever. However, it seems like that I can still go on with this. And it sounds so. If there's any lisping, that's probably what that is.
Just a little slurred speech here.
A little slurred speech.
Just a little slur.
All right. So last week's episode had some audio issues.
Nothing too noticeable.
So we were recording just out of one mic. And we didn't realize that the other mic was not recording, and so I had to go in and splice out every little...
We were just trying something new.
We were trying...
New techniques.
There's a new way of doing it. So I've been learning how to be an audio engineer for podcasting. That's a new talent that I've learned, and I hope that today nothing will go wrong, and I knock on wood with that.
You definitely should not have said that.
Well, I knocked on the wood, and there's wood on the ground, so there you go. But just to kind of give everybody a little update as to what we're doing, we are 2 West Virginia experts with unique backgrounds in the state. Each week, we come to you with a big topic based on locations, stories, and history within West Virginia that is featured or likely to be featured in Fallout 76. We also have Fallout 76 news, whether it's fresh off the week or maybe something that we already know that hasn't been covered on this show. We're probably going to do that this week since there's nothing really that new. We'll share history and facts that are referenced, as well as personal stories and impressions. If you like the show, tell your friends, follow us on Twitter at VaultBoysWV, and email us your questions, and we'll be happy to answer them on the show and have a nice little dialogue with you all at VaultBoysWV@gmail.com. If you want to know how to spell that, that's VaultBoysWV@gmail.com. From Holler to Highway, we'll have you covered 6 ways to Sunday.
I like that.
Yeah, it's nice.
Holler to Highway.
Now we'll take you to the news. This week in Fallout 76 news, the trailer version of Take Me Home Country Roads is available on iTunes. All proceeds will be donated to the Habitat for Humanity. The song was recorded by Co-Pilot Productions and utilizes the creative talent and voices of New York City barbershop-style group called Spank. Have you had a chance to listen to the song, Austin?
I downloaded it. The first day it was available, I had checked, I guess, the last few weeks, because I wanted to know who it was, because they didn't really give you a whole lot of information. But I enjoy it. I actually listened to it at work the other day to get myself in the right, some riveting stuff. And I listened to it, and it just got me right in the mood.
I was looking on Reddit, and somebody had made a playlist of all the music from Fallout 76, and it was just a 50-song playlist that was all Take Me Home Country Roads. And I was like, how do they have this playlist already?
Yeah, you click it. It's like, man, they have some insider sources here.
They got some insider sources. And
that's funny.
It was a very, very, probably like 50 or 100 versions of Take Me Home Country Roads.
I like it.
But I found out the Spanx from Pete Hines' Twitter. He had it on there and had a few videos. So if you want to check out, I guess, what they sound like, and I think they were doing Down by the Boardwalk in one of them.
Yeah.
You can go to his Twitter. I think it's at DC Deacon, D-E-A-C-O-N. How I know that off the top of my head is because I'm weird like that.
I just want to know, like, how did they... I feel like the music choice for Fallout is always insanely particular. And they find, like, whether it be songs that there's, like, a meaning behind the song that can connect to the game, to, like, mm-hmm. post-apocalyptic, you know, like, just... Fallout 3, it felt like every song, like, could relate to the fact mm-hmm. that the world was basically, you know, ending.
Right.
So it's like, how did they, what made them choose, you said it was like a New York barbershop style.
Yeah. I think that was, they chose the production company because the production company that does mm-hmm. a lot of the background music and mm-hmm. getting together the songs, they do work, I believe, for different corporations and Bethesda. I think they've done stuff before for them with Doom and Wolfenstein.
Oh, okay.
And so they tasked them with coming up with this cover, and they picked this New York group. There's a lot of stuff of them on like subways and alleyways, and they were pretty good for street performances. Mm-hmm. I've never been to New York, but I am going in December. But New Orleans, mm-hmm. I can talk about, is freaking awesome, and it's mm-hmm. like, I dabble in trumpet. I played it for probably 10 years. And
Humble brag.
But these 10-year-olds could outplay me every single time. These really? Guys. I mean, a lot of the street performers in big cities are absolutely insane at their craft. And it's amazing to me that they are choose to be street performers. But they make a good bit when you're properly permitted and doing mm-hmm. all that stuff. You make a good bit.
I like the sound though with them, because there was like the Appalachian feel with kind of a what they are, you know, like a barbershop, you know, quartet,
right?
Style of.
I always like that in video games, like when they add in barbershop quartets. So like in BioShock,
I was gonna say,
where they have the Beach Boys cover.
Yeah,
that was like, it's one of my favorite openings, is because it's like, you know, you're going up in that ship and then you.
Uh-huh.
You're walking around, the float comes by, and it's
just a barbershop quartet.
Wait a second. All right, so there's really, other than that, mm-hmm. not much news this week for Fallout.
Not a lot going on.
I thought we'd go back and talk about something that was revealed in the Denny O'Dwyer no-clip production of the making of Fallout 76, which mm-hmm. I would say is required viewing if you want to get up to date with Fallout 76 in this podcast. We're going to mm-hmm. be covering a lot of the things that he has talked about in that particular production, as well as going deeper into locations that weren't showed in the E3 presentation, but showed in his documentary.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about the special system. So the special system is the D&D equivalent of your different skills that you have. Mm-hmm. So like magic and strength and all that stuff. Essentially, mm-hmm. Bethesda, well, it was, I think, Interplay Interactive, came up with the idea of having these particular areas that you could specialize in. So it's mm-hmm. special, which is the acronym for, which is strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck.
That was impressive. I had to think about it for a second.
Oh, we'll see. That's why you write the notes for the show, even though I didn't look at the notes.
That was, wow.
So with special system, as you level up, you put different points into it. And mm-hmm. so in other Fallout games, it's like you have like 10 strength. You can carry a lot of things. You're better at melee weapons. With charisma, if you have a high charisma, you can convince people to do more things for you, turn enemies into your friends. With luck, that's one of the more interesting ones, where it's like you'll find more caps, you'll find more supplies, and your chances are higher of hitting an enemy in the game. So they're carrying that over from all the previous Fallouts, of course, into Fallout 76.
During the moments, I guess when it's initially brought up, the beginning of Fallout games, and it lets you choose, you know, what you want to focus on at the beginning, that is always a moment of panic for me, and I get very anxious because I have to change it at least 5 times before I can proceed. I feel like I never know what direction I want to go,
I hate that moment.
Right.
Just because I'd rather them pick for me because I am the most indecisive person. I start thinking ahead of, well, what if I need to do this? So then I change it to this and I change my strength up and I do this. And it turns into like a 5-minute ordeal just to select like 5 points. Mm. And it's always, I'm too like obsessive about it. So not a good moment for me in the video game, but
making committing. That's a high
too much commitment, too much commitment for me. Too much. That's, I'm not all for that. So yeah.
The thing that I always make high is, my charisma. And so mm-hmm. I generally put a lot of points on that because, you can get by a lot of stuff, especially early in the game, just by having high charisma.
That's true.
And then and four, there's a particular perk that allows you to create supply lines between settlements. Mm-hmm. And that's how, I guess, everything is transported for me for mm-hmm. these different locations and different stuff. So I have to have that if I'm going through a playthrough of it, just because it makes the game a whole lot easier.
I never did the whole, as bad as it sounds, I never really did the settlement stuff.
Mm.
I started it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped and I never went back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I need to, I'll be more interested in it, I think, with
76. Well, you're going to have to be in my settlement, and I'm the czar of the settlement. Czar. And I hope you know that, that you, I will give you a fiefdom, but ultimately you will report to the czar.
We'll report to the czar.
Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to separate up the east end of Charleston, and I'll be down where I live and you'll be down where you live. And you know, everything that's in between fine. Will be our fiefdom. And so if anybody else builds there, we'll...
That's a pretty short area to
work
with.
I mean, it's, you know,
a block and a half, basically.
Yeah, block and a half. Yeah. Nobody's allowed.
Yeah. I think so. You mentioned the perk that helped with the settlement mm-hmm. and the shipping. As long as there is still a mysterious stranger, I think I'll be happy.
So you have a theory about mysterious stranger of how... The mysterious stranger, not necessarily a good person,
mm-hmm.
but has been in the Fallout universe for this amount of time. I don't think that he'll be in this game. I think that the mysterious stranger will be replaced by Mothman.
See, that would be interesting. I like that idea.
Because Mothman, not necessarily a monster or a beast or like, mm-hmm. you know, has high intelligence.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did we ever have any reports of him actually, you know, killing anyone?
No, he doesn't hurt. He doesn't hurt anybody. I mean,
he's just kind of a chill dude. He's just trying to be understood in this world.
I mean, people get extremely, you know, go a little crazy, you know, over the Mothman and do things maybe that they wouldn't necessarily do.
He just wants a friend.
But in the end, as we learn in Mothman Prophecies, he's mm-hmm. just trying to save some lives,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So Mothman,
I think that,
good guy.
I think that, and they said that they want to do something interesting with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he is going to play more than just a monster, but be more of a presence within the game.
Yeah. Well, I saw the interview where this was last month. They were still in the kind of the developing processes of figuring out what to actually do with him. So I've heard that maybe there was going to be, you know, you emerge from the vault and mm-hmm. within a short period of time, you can see him. He can see you. You can't really do anything with him. Maybe kind of like lurking in the background mm-hmm. there, which that would be pretty scary. I feel like if you don't know when he's actually. I mean, that's if they go the route of you're going to end up getting attacked at some point. But
right.
I like your idea of him kind of taking that mysterious stranger.
Yeah, he's benevolent. Role. I mean, for local history and local things, it's like everybody loves Mothman. Well, everybody that, you know, mm-hmm. loves the idea of Mothman, the people that there are still people that have actually seen him, that have claimed to
mm-hmm.
seen them. You can find
I claimed him. I saw him in fourth grade. I didn't actually see him, though.
Oh, my goodness. We'll have to talk. We're going to have a full Mothman episode, and I'm talking to some people, maybe possibly from the Mothman Festival.
I like that.
Of getting them together, maybe having a...
Still never been to that.
Oh,
I'm going this year, though.
Need to go.
I'm definitely going this year. I think it actually might be a part of my job description to go this year, so I might have to go.
You gotta go get that tourism coverage.
Yeah,
I gotta Mr. Go Tourism get on the scene.
Yeah, I'm on the case. Don't worry. We're working on it.
So with the special system, they're including this new perk card. Mm-hmm. So every time you level up, you gain these particular cards, and you can choose whichever one. I think in the clip that they had on the documentary, it was like a choice of three. And so those three are essentially perks that you would find from previous Fallouts where it's like increased VATS accuracy on limbs, or I would imagine that they would have the cannibalism perk or the science perk of the, you know, these different things that you would do within the game. Mm-hmm. And every time you level up, you gain a new card. You can also level up those cards that you have, but you can only have a certain amount of cards active on your person at a time. And I don't know how they're going to go about doing that or changing that, but I would imagine that you would have different loadouts, I would say. Like, you know, thinking about Call of Duty or Battlefield or something like that, you're going to have different loadouts for whatever you're doing at the time. I would assume those would be attached to your camp that you would have in the game.
Customize different slots to choose from. And
And so I think that's a really interesting idea and will make people... Because eventually, once you get such a high level... so right now, my character... My main one, the first one that I did in Fallout 4, is level 99. Mm-hmm. And it's like everything he runs into is just toast.
Yeah.
Because he's so specialized and he does. Yeah. It's like you use a sniper, you get a headshot, you walk away.
Yeah.
And so with this, it's like allowing you to kind of explore the different options, I think, or what it'll lead to is... looking at the perks as a whole, maybe appreciating some new ones, figuring out what setup is right for what activity you're doing. So you're probably gonna be doing something more combat focused when you're out hunting monsters, or if you want to build, you probably want to have something based on survival or based on building. If you are with a group, maybe I think there would be some like medic perks, I think they talked about, where it's like you can be the quote unquote healer of the group.
Well, it'll be interesting. I think it'll keep it sort of fresh because, like you said, if you're a level 99, there's not much difficulty when you're out doing much. But now maybe you pick this loadout, you run into something that you're not really prepared for.
Right.
It's going to give you a little more of a challenge. You know, and then you maybe think more ahead. Well, I might run into this next time, so maybe I will stick with this. Or, you know, there's going to be people mad about it. You know, there will be. Well, but I think it's a cool idea. I think it's fresh. I think it's going to give you a little more. You're going to have to be more prepared, I think.
You're gonna have to research what, you know, you're going to have to play with the different options. Yeah. You're going to have to get out there and figure out.
Trial and error.
You know, what does this do? What, right. You know. Does this add to my overall character for what I'm doing right now? Does this go with my weapon that I have very well? I think that you're going to have to kind of make some decisions. The one that I'm most curious about how they're going to implement is charisma.
Yeah. Because there's not a...
Well, there's nobody...
There's no NPCs.
There's nobody to talk to.
Yeah.
And so...
you're just going to have to be a really good liar.
You're just going to be... You're just going to have to lie to everybody you see. Or take some public speaking classes on the side and then come in and say...
Speaking of that, I am wondering... You might know the answer to this. I don't know if they've actually talked about it. But let's say that you're just playing by yourself and you come across somebody. Will you be able to speak with a mic to them as if you really stumbled upon someone in real life, you think? I don't know if they've mentioned anything about that.
I would imagine so.
You would think.
I'm curious as to what the radius of that is going to be. If it is going to be like Grand Theft Auto Online, where everybody on that map, so I think there's like 24 people on the... I'm not quite sure. It has been a very long time since I've played Grand Theft Auto Online back when I had my PlayStation 3. And I think everybody on that map could talk at the same time to each other. I'm not sure if they're going to do it that way, if they're going to create a radius. They're probably going to have... I know in Elder Scrolls Online, there's a radius of like what you can hear, and then there's options of only people in your team, only people that you're friends with. You know, you can set it differently. So they probably, now that I think about it, will follow something similar to Elder Scrolls Online, where And I can't speak for sure, but I would imagine that they would, you know, have a lot of those features and capabilities. But, you know, it may be that everybody in the Mac could hear you, but I would figure that wouldn't be the case because since the map is so big and a lot of it is about exploring, even though it's exploring together, I'd imagine that you wouldn't be able to hear somebody in the next town over. Maybe if you're in the same town, you could hear somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
I think that would be cool. Just once you get within a believable radius that you would actually be able to talk to someone.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see how they implement voice chat how they implement player communication. And so we saw that you have emotes in the game.
I liked that a lot.
That was cool.
Very Fortnite-esque.
Yeah.
Wonder where they got that from.
Well, emotes are big, I think.
Yeah, they're...
In Destiny, they started real big. And of course in other games like Team Fortress and so on and so forth. And Overwatch and all that stuff. But... I'm particularly curious about what charisma will do and what you're interacting with within the game world that's like coded and everything.
Yeah. Is there going to be for it at this point? There has to be some sort of use.
Well, I'd imagine that it would be buying and selling things. That's always something that's been affected in previous Fallouts. And so I'd imagine that would be something that's included with what they have. I couldn't imagine it any different, just because they've got to, you know, figure out a way to get that together. But
right.
Otherwise, I'm not quite sure. All right, so that's about it for the news, and we'll cover new stuff when it comes out each week. We're doing it weekly, so you'll be able to keep at least, you know, a 7-day up to date with what we have. And until there's something new, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about old stories that we haven't discussed in the podcast. I doubt we'll touch anything twice, at least without, you know, giving some time in between so we can have more hands-on time with the game once it comes out. But in the future, just be aware that we're going to go back and cover old stuff as it comes through. All right, off to the next section. You know what I like?
What do you like?
I like big, long bridges.
I've heard that about you.
You know that I am quite the bridge connoisseur.
Yes.
So today we're going to be talking about a particular bridge that is in West Virginia.
What could it be?
As well as featured in Fallout 76.
What could it be?
That people may jump off of sometimes.
Ah, man. I'm stumped. I don't know.
Let me save you. We're going to be talking about the New River Gorge Bridge.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
That's a beautiful piece of architecture.
I know, right? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a history run through here. I'm going to lay it all out there so everybody comes, you know, has that initial, you know, up-to-dateness. And then we're going to talk about it some. How's that sound?
I am all for that plan.
All right. So what we're going to start with is before... even the bridge itself. We're going to start with a little town called Fayetteville. Fayetteville was founded by Abraham Vandal, a Revolutionary War veteran and a local farmer. The town was originally named Vandalia after the colonial name for the region that included Ohio and Kentucky. The town was then named in honor of the Revolutionary War hero Marquis de Lafayette, who was touring the U.S. in the mid-1820s. I have 1824 down here, but I'm not quite sure. The bridge to connect Fayetteville, which is up on top of a mountain, started in 1974 and was completed in 1977. The bridge was designed by Michael Baker Company, and construction was done by the U.S. Steel American Bridge Division. The bridge was built partially by a new kind of construction technology known as a cableway, which is essentially metal wires connecting across the bridge to move steel from side to side. So like four pegs at each side of the bridge, then they have these cables that run along, and then they latch the steel up onto the cable, and they push it off, and that way you can build it in different spokes in different areas. And as we know, it's kind of in an arc shape. It doesn't have any poles that run straight up and down from the ground. The bridge is 3,000 feet across and is the third highest bridge in the United States, standing at 876 feet tall. It spans over the New River, which is one of the oldest rivers in the world, and the also oldest. Flows north due to the fact that in ancient times there was an ocean that ran right through the middle of the United States before the tectonic plates flew. And so that's why you see a lot of the weird animal species and those ancient things is because there was an ocean from what was the area from the Mississippi to the Rocky Mountains. The original trip to the valley, through the valley, across the river, took 45 minutes before they built the bridge. So that's from the top of Fayetteville. You got to go. They said there were signs that there were like 8 miles to the next place. And they were like, oh, 8 miles, that won't take long. But it's down the steep mountain. You got to go all the way to the bottom. And there's a bridge down there. And that was 45 minutes. But after they built the bridge, it only takes 45 seconds to make that trip.
Well, even taking Fayette Station Road, that's still there under the bridge. Mm. I mean, it's still like a 25-minute drive, and that's just directly under the bridge and then back up. So it's a long drive.
It was built as part of the state's government initiative to travel across the state easier by creating large roads known as corridors that would bisect major interstates running throughout. And so West Virginia, you know, a lot of that land is mountainous, and so that's hard to travel through. And so the amount of interstates that we had going through was actually a lot, but they wanted to make a safe way of getting to these more rural areas that weren't directly off the interstate. So they built these corridors. So in Charleston, the area with the Walmart and the Target and all of the, like, you know, super duper corporate shops and everything is Corridor G.
Pronounced around here Quarter G.
The interesting thing is that every third Saturday in October, we celebrate Bridge Day. And on this day a year, the famous New River Gorge Bridge is open to pedestrians and a wide variety of activities. Great views, foods, crafts, vendors, base jumping, rappelling, music, and more. Austin, what's your experience like with the New River Gorge Bridge?
I went to my first Bridge Day, actually, last year. I lived in Bluefield, which is only, 45 minutes away. But, you know, most of my life. It's kind of a sin that last year was my first one to go to, but I'd been there several times, you know, other than Bridge Day throughout my life. But Bridge Day is an experience. Pretty much every time a base jumper leaps off the edge, everyone kind of holds their breath because there have been deaths there with, you know, parachutes not opening or just, you know, them not opening them in time at all. So there were a few last year that I definitely was not sure if they were going to make it. They'd get pretty low and I'm like, oh God, this is really happening. And then parachute would come out. So people are brave. I don't think I could do it personally, but it's a cool experience standing, you know, over 800 feet over, you know, one of the oldest rivers in the world and watching people just fling themselves off the bridge. It's
more than just people flinging themselves base jumping. And so you have that base jumping aspect, but last year they had, and I'm sure in years past, they had a catapult where you would get into the catapult and then they'd lever it. It would shoot you into the air.
I think they've had that for several years now, and that was my favorite, was watching that, because these people, they were ready, and they would just go flipping through the air.
And people travel from all over the U.S. to come and jump off this bridge.
So I know they do, at least since Facebook has incorporated a live feature, they do live streams of it now, and a lot of times they will interview the people as they're waiting, and I think I saw there were people from Wisconsin, California, you know, Washington, like all over, like you said, all over the place. There were people from England and they come to do this. So it's cool to get different people into the state. And it's just like, it's such an iconic thing now. Like, I mean, it's, I think even on back when, all of the quarters had like a state on them. I think West Virginia was the New River Gorge Bridge. I think that was what represented us. So it's definitely kind of like the most iconic.
Well, even before Bridge Day, which I think started in the 80s, I think maybe 84 was when they had their, or 81, I can't remember.
There were people, a few years there before.
When it was being built, like, all of the town citizens, that's what they did, was they would go out and watch it be built. And it was, like, their afternoon activity. And they would have engineers come in from all over the United States to just watch this huge bridge be built. It was a modern big deal for... to just see the marvel of engineering that was happening. I mean, something as simple as a bridge, but...
It still seems almost too good to be true that that thing is, like, so sound when you look at it, because it's built into the mountain. Like, its supports are the mountain.
They didn't cut out any of the mountain. No. I mean, very little, if any.
And I really would like to know how often it's inspected. I feel like it has to be pretty regular.
Oh, it has to
I mean, because that thing... It's a very, like, it's a cool experience to stand on it and watch Bridge Day, but it's very unnerving at the same time, because you realize, like, you're in the middle of this huge bridge, packed in like sardines with all these people.
Right.
What and if that if anything, if anything would happen, that's pretty much it. Like, you're not getting off the bridge. And but a lot of bridges, I feel like when you get on them, you can feel it shaking, and you can kind of feel, like, you know, especially let's say there's like trucks driving on it or something, and you can kind of feel that little bit of movement. On the New River Gorge, you've got thousands of people, all this heavy equipment, everything on it at one point. You don't feel any sort of,
you don't feel any movement whatsoever.
It's there.
And I mean, when you're at Bridge Day and you're watching people jump off, you're leaning over the edge to, you know, see past people as they're going through. And in fact, they only close one lane of the bridge, and it's very hard to get from one side of the bridge to the other because the middle is so packed. When you're going through.
So they close the one side for pedestrians, and the other side is still technically closed. But more for like paramedics and
state troopers.
But still, so when we were walking along last year, I know they let us hop the median at one point to get around a crowd. And so that helped to get down there. But then on the way back, they wouldn't let us do it. So I think we stood in one spot just trying to leave for at least 10 minutes before we could move anywhere. And that was when my brain kind of started to start. It started running away. I was like, man, I just want to get off this bridge. So it definitely, if you're terrified of heights, I wouldn't recommend it. But you don't necessarily have to go on the bridge to enjoy Bridge Day. There's vendors and all sorts of other things set up before you get onto the bridge. Right. So there's a lot of stuff there. It's just cool to me that Fallout is going to let you be on the bridge. I mean, it's cool to me that you can experience that there as well. Really, the whole game's cool to me because Virginia. But
here's the thing. Okay, now this is coming from the guy with a geography degree. I've got some beef here. So Fayetteville is a wonderful town, and it's one of the few towns in West Virginia that I think has tourism a little bit figured out.
Oh, they are leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of West Virginia right now.
I think that they are the pioneers for the whole area as far as what bringing West Virginia into the 21st century and figuring out different sources of income for locals and for the state overall of bringing people in through these interstates.
The gap between Beckley and Fayetteville, which is only like, they're only like 15 miles away from each other, but the gap between the two of them with how they're doing things is incredible. But Fayetteville is like leaps and bounds beyond what Beckley's doing right now. Fayetteville is like its own little world inside of West Virginia. It doesn't really make sense how they're doing it, but
there's Ace Adventure Resorts. And so I want to go do that. And they have one that's like an all day zip lining excursion.
Yeah. Well, they have Ace, and then there's actually Adventures on the Gorge, too.
Oh, yeah, Adventures on the Gorge.
And then Rivers Expedition. So they have, like, three big companies that do that now, which is amazing.
And they will bus people. I believe they'll bus people from Charleston Airport and get them, if I'm correct, down there. And
I can't confirm, but I've heard that they
do that. I know I've seen the buses when I've been down that way and have gone through and seen.
They have, like, packages.
It's probably one of the. It's probably the whitewater rafting capital of the East Coast.
I would say one of them. I would think it's like probably the top.
The Gauley River and the New River, there's so much for whitewater rafting.
Gauley season's actually coming up soon. Yeah. So.
But Fayetteville itself, a little known fact about Fayetteville is right before you get to the bridge, if you were ever on the bridge, I would say that this particular location is some of the best sandwiches you will ever have in your life.
Yeah.
And it is a restaurant called Secret Sandwich Society. And there's nothing secret particularly about it other than it's triple S, which I, you know, like the name and everything. But every single sandwich in the restaurant is named after a president. And every single sandwich I've had there has changed my life.
Oh, they're so good.
In a multitude of ways.
Yes.
It's also where a local chain, Pies and Pints, got their start as a big pizza. Now I think they're in Ohio, maybe Kentucky.
I think they're in Cincinnati now, too.
Gosh, that's crazy to me. There are two main locations are in Fayetteville and then here in Charleston.
Which I always thought when I was younger that the Charleston one was the original. I thought that was the only one.
Well, their logo is the elephant, and they didn't have a logo until they opened up the Charleston location, saw all this elephant decoration in the restaurant, and then were like, well, we don't have a logo, and we don't have anything to go off of, so why don't we just keep the elephant and make it the Pies and Pints thing. So it's a really, what's a good word? It's a really good place and cradle for new businesses in West Virginia. And
Fayetteville is kind of what everyone else should be looking at in the state and saying, oh, let's kind of emulate what they're doing.
And the best part about it is it's still very West Virginian there. And you have the same, you know, kind of people from all different walks of life and, you've got, you know, your real country folk, you've got your, you know, your hippies that are living out there and doing their little thing. You've got your blue collar workers. You have this mesh of people and everybody loves that town. I know a bunch of people that even work in Charleston here that are from the Oak Hill, Fayetteville area.
Cause it's really not a long drive.
No, it's not a long drive. It's maybe like 45 minutes from here.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the good, another good thing about Fayetteville. They're conveniently located.
Very close.
You have Beckley, which has a lot of bigger things there within 15, 20 minutes. You got Charleston, which is probably about 40 minutes, I would say, about 40, 45 minutes. So, and it's very accessible. I mean, there's a highway that runs right to it.
Right.
You got Summersville Lake, 20 minutes north?
20 minutes 20, north.
25 minutes. So it's, Fayetteville kind of is a hub for like fun. It's like anything.
And it's unique in that aspect, unlike anywhere in West Virginia. And so we don't, my beef is, we don't have a full map of everything. So Fayetteville may be in there. But I do know that the New River Gorge Bridge is beside Charleston in the new Fallout 76.
Also, if you notice the shots from below the bridge, there were houses and like a little town, which isn't actually there.
You can't build really anything below the bridge.
Essentially, all that's actually there are train tracks and riverbanks.
The riverbanks and the one shack that everybody that jumps has to go into afterwards.
Yeah, so it's just sort of that was one thing, which, I mean, not a big deal.
No.
Biggest beef like you that I have is that it is within, you know, you can see the bridge from Charleston, and that's not exactly accurate.
Yeah, and everything's condensed when it comes to these games. Yeah. It's like Boston wasn't an accurate representation of, I mean, it had the locations, it had a general way of things, of how everything was located, and it looks like it's a very similar thing, so you know, Charleston is kind of that mid, like mid left of everything. And then you've got your Cranberry Glades to the east. And then
the only thing that's kind of weird to me, I feel like out of all of them, DC was eerily accurate. That was the one map that it was like, man, this is actually pretty spot on.
Yeah, there's some, and you have to shrink all the towns and go through all the stuff. And so it's like, how do you put, I mean, you could just base a game around Arlington because Arlington's so freaking big.
It's huge.
But
it seemed like just placement. It seemed pretty proportionate. I mean, for what they had to do. But realistically, I guess West Virginia has a lot more mountains and obstacles, and
there's a lot more stuff. And you know, it's hard to appreciate Fayetteville without actually going there, because from an outsider, it's just another small town in America.
Yeah.
But once you get in it and once you realize. And there's no specific landmarks or anything mm-hmm. particularly interesting. It's got a nice little downtown.
Yeah.
I've been to that bike shop down there. It's pretty mm-hmm. cool, too.
But you could spend a week in Fayetteville
and, oh God,
and still not have done everything for how small it is. I mean, you could set up 2 or 3 days just with Ace Adventure Resort or Adventures on the Gorge, doing the zip lines and the rafting. And they have like the lake with all the equipment and stuff and kind of like just like a, it's like an adult playground there. But
I've got a Tom Haverford business idea for them because let me tell you what I love on my honeymoon. After I got married,
right,
we went to a Sandals resort. And let me tell you what's freaking relaxing is having everything paid for when you go. It's expensive.
All inclusive.
All the drinks, all the different stuff. Yeah. If somebody could open up an all-inclusive resort in West Virginia where it's like, you can go whitewater rafting whenever you want. You can go ziplining wherever you want. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have ATVs. You can get your license to ride. And you can go ride our trails whenever you want. We've got all your meals covered, your mm-hmm. transportation covered. Everything you need is right here. That is a smart business idea.
I'll fund it. I think
that's
good.
I've got one person for my adventure resort.
I'm in. Just do a GoFundMe. We'll get it going.
Put it on Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. Yes. All inclusive West Virginia resort.
$50 million for the first floor, and then $100 million for every extra floor.
I'll try to get Jim Justice on the phone.
We'll
get him.
You'll get it all sorted up. Sponsors. I think he's a little busy with the other major resort in West Virginia, and I don't think he would particularly fund it unless it had the name Greenbrier Adventure Resort.
You know, the Greenbrier. People forget, man. People forget the Greenbrier. People forget.
Or maybe just build it on the property and just be like, here's the Greenbrier. And back here, we've got the all-inclusive Greenbrier Adventure Resort. And then we build another vault there. And
that would be, listen, I was thinking about this the other day, a little off topic with the vault at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, what you got?
I was like, okay, so then that got leaked that was a thing back mm-hmm. in the day, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
First off, you know someone had to be really pissed off and probably got fired when that leaked somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of started thinking, okay, well, I wonder where the new one is. Like, there's got to be several on the East Coast, I would think, that we don't know about.
There has to be.
I bet there's another one at the Greenbrier. It's like reverse psychology. Oh, yeah, we got this one that you guys found. Like, yeah, we're giving tours of it. Underneath that one, there's another one.
I mean, who's to say? So here's the thing. That bunker hasn't been decommissioned.
Yeah, they could still use it.
It's a fallout, so it doesn't protect from any bombs or anything. Now, with the current bomb technology, and you know, I'm not a military scientist to really know anything mm-hmm. other than when you fire a mini nuke, it makes a little explosion on the map, and I feel real good about it. But if they, you know, they chose the location for mm-hmm. different, you know, geological reasons, and so they could still use it. But I would imagine that maybe they could still use that, or maybe there's something else that we don't know about in West Virginia because there's a lot of weird things that happen as far as, like, for example, there was a whole town for sale recently that was this naval base that they built a town for. With all the amenities, all the different hookups for internet, everything you got
in West Virginia.
In West Virginia, and they were selling it for it was like $50 million or something. I may have that number entirely wrong, or maybe it was $10 million. I'm not sure, but they were selling this whole town, and I'm thinking, why would they build a whole town just to sell it? But you've got your radio silent zone where you can't have any of the radio signals. I bet you there's something else and of course there is. You know, probably within the West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Virginia, all Delaware. You know, all the
stuff. There's definitely something. I would say
there's something here. I can smell it with my nose, man, or something.
I want to believe.
But as far as people, the theories behind that, I have a few that I will share with you from my recent tour and talks with the tour guides at the Greenbrier Hotel on the bunker tour mm-hmm. in a later episode where we talk about the Greenbrier bunker. I don't want to shoot all of our good episodes here at first. And so, of course,
it's not a good business tactic.
Of course, there's going to be a Mothman episode. Of course there's going to be a Green Bar Bunker episode. Of course there's going to be a Charleston, West Virginia episode because we are in Charleston, West Virginia. But right now we're keeping it. We're keeping it small. We're, you know, leaving those, yeah, we're leaving those breadcrumbs. So the bridge in the game. I have a theory.
Okay.
I'm gonna put a bet on the board.
Okay.
Okay. So the bridge is famous for what? What's the, when you think of the bridge, what do you think of?
Base jumping?
Base jumping, correct. I bet you that at some point you are going to get a parachute.
Yes.
Within the game.
That would
and
be
you
cool.
are going to jump off that bridge and you are going to get a trophy or achievement when you do so.
I think that, yeah. I think I like that idea. I'm not totally opposed to that.
Because there's all this verticality in the game where you've got the mountains, you've got
mm-hmm.
the different stuff, and it's like, okay, so when you see these high points in the game, what's your first thing you do in Grand Theft Auto when you get to the top of the mountain? It's like,
it's gonna jump.
I'm just gonna jump.
Just gonna send it.
That's what you do.
I think that that would be cool. I think it would be cool if, I mean, it was like part of some sort of a mission or a quest. I think that would be cool. Make it a little more meaningful too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Or if you could just do it as many times as you want.
There's got to be something about base jumping.
Yeah.
In connection with the bridge. You'll probably, I'd imagine that, you know, you'd see like, you know, a little skeleton with the parachute on and it'd be at the bottom. And,
that
you know,
would be.
Turned over.
That'd be a cool little Easter egg. If they don't include base jumping, just having someone with a parachute.
And I mean, what would you do if you weren't invited to a vault when the bombs are going off? It's like, okay, well, I've always had a fear of jumping off bridges. You know what? I'm going to do it. And if I die, I'm
already
dead.
We're in the same place. Yeah. We're in the same place I was going to be in.
Right.
So that would be cool. I will probably more than likely jump off the bridge, like in the game, just to do it.
I bet you that there's going to be something tied to that. I'm saying it's an achievement or trophy or something like that,
mm-hmm.
where you jump off and, you know, probably from that height, that's probably the quickest straight down shot that you get
mm-hmm.
in West Virginia, just from of being able to scale different things because verticality is not
yeah.
really that much of a thing in Fallout.
I'd never really thought about that, I guess.
Huh. Yeah, and so in past games they've had like jetpacks or, you know, take you up to the top of the Washington Monument or, you know,
right.
New Vegas, there wasn't that much verticality other than when you go up to the penthouse.
Yeah.
But for this game they've talked it's about that.
More open.
Yeah, they've talked about that and about how that's a new thing, and so you're able to identify where you are based off landmarks and how mm-hmm. the map is more of a approximate pictorial visualization of the area.
I don't remember if it was Todd Howard. I watched an interview with some mm-hmm. of the creators and designers, but they were talking about how, I think it was Todd Howard, he was talking about how, like what you said, with seeing the landmarks on the mountains and stuff can help you kind of navigate where you are, but that they mm-hmm. wanted you to sort of get lost in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think that for sure, especially around the gorge, cause like you're way down when you get down to the bottom of the gorge,
it's
you're
beautiful.
Way down there.
I mean, if you're in that river for too long, mm-hmm. you're going to get caught up in something and yeah. you're going to be out in the cone tray and in the holler, as they call it.
Yeah. There's a lot in those mountains.
There's, I want to find out more about what you've got stored up in those mountains, Austin.
We'll do an episode.
We'll do an episode. That sounds great. Well,
we'll come back to that.
Austin, not to bridge topics here, but I am going
not
to bridge,
bridge
topics. Let's get into our next segment. So, Austin, this week, as we're wrapping up the podcast and everything, what have you been playing? What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? I haven't really played a lot the last week, honestly. Mm-hmm. Played some Nidhogg, a little bit of that. But
a little bit of Nidhogg. Did you get Nidhogg? Did you finally?
I did, yeah.
Did you finally get one or two?
I got one.
Oh, got one. That's
bought
the OG.
It. Yeah, I did that. I've been playing some Fallout 3. Still kind of
where
working through that. So right now I actually restarted it twice. So mm-hmm. this time through I'm on my way to Galaxy News Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working through that. I kind of stayed around Megaton for a little bit, contemplated, you know, blowing up the town, decided
hard
to be
decisions.
Decided to be a good person and not do it.
It's hard to go against your will and you're in a game. Yeah. You can't do that until you're third or fourth character.
Yeah. So this time I was like, yeah, I'm just going to let these people live their life. And now I'm
you're
on the
so
way.
So merciful.
I'm so merciful. So now I'm on my way to Galaxy News Radio. I remembered before I left, I was like, oh yeah, there's like, you know, the rock behind Megaton where you can go back and get like, it's like a sniper rifle hidden in it, like a hollowed out rock. And I really didn't have a weapon other than a pistol. So I was like, oh, I'll go grab this real quick, have some. And there's only like five bullets. Yeah. And I think like the condition of the weapon is like, it's almost just done. Mm. So that didn't help. So now I'm just kind of making my way downtown. Walking fast. Yeah. I'm just kind of working my way that way. So I'll probably play a little bit more of that tonight. I've just been so busy the last week. I haven't really had time to do anything, but
touring of his work over there.
Being an adult sucks.
Being an adult sucks. I'm with you. I understand. As the numbness of my lower mouth wears off, I completely understand. Pro tip is get your dental insurance figured out.
Yeah,
early. That way you don't have any cavities because you're getting your yearly or now for me every 6 months cleaning. for that. So for me, I've been playing some Fallout 4.
Yeah.
I finally got through a lot of the Minutemen stuff, which is what I've been focusing on. And I've never really used the artillery system. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what's really fantastic in that game is the artillery system.
I've always wondered about that. I've
well,
never
as,
really
as long as you have
it.
The settlers and you have everything good, you can use that at any of the adjacent locations mm-hmm. to your settlement. And so once you have that set up, you're essentially free to explore anywhere around your settlement with some very heavy firepower. And so I've been kind of messing around with that, getting most of my settlements are up in the northern part of the map and just kind of getting that starting area off and figuring out how, you know, each of them are set up and fed and getting enough settlers so that I can have my food well enough and planting a lot of that. I've been planting a lot of mutt fruit, if you must know.
What is that?
That's that tree fruit. I think it's called mutt fruit that comes off. You get it at different farms, get in different areas. But instead of 0.5 food, like most of the other crops, it is 1.0 food, which is a lot better for your settlements if you're looking to up your food game.
It's been so long since I've actually played through Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get back into it and just kind of... I might have to start it over.
Well, it's nice that you're going through 3. I haven't played 3 in a coon's age, my friend.
So 3 is actually my favorite, I think. I think 3 is actually... It's tough to say. 3... God of War is giving it a run for its money, but I think 3 is my favorite video game ever. I think. I really want to say it is. I think just because of how long I spent on that game
when I
was in high school.
Yeah, I understand, because it's like I have a very special connection with Oblivion because I spent so many freaking hours at that game.
I used to, and like I just remember the first time when I finally had gained a little bit of skill and I had got some weapons and some armor, and just running through DC listening to like Binga Banga Bunga, I don't want to leave the country. Like when like all these songs, like, and it makes you feel like so just involved. Like you're just like, you're in the game. Like the just everything about that game, I think, is just, it makes it even more interactive. And I can, anytime I hear any sort of music from like the 30s or 40s now, I think like, man, I'm listening to the lyrics. I'm like, I could totally see this in a Fallout game. And like, I'm wondering what they're going to put in it. Mm. So like, I just, you know, I go back to that, and I just remember sitting in my room for hours and hours on end. And it, I guess almost it takes you back to a better time. Like, you're very...
Well,
like,
yeah, it's that weird 50s nostalgia that, like, everybody had in the 80s. Like, everybody was like, oh, man, the 50s are so cool. When you had Grease coming out, you had all this different stuff. And it's like this, like, pseudo sci-fi 50s nostalgia. And so I feel that way at Christmas time a lot. Like when I watch White Christmas, which is a yearly tradition that I watch White Christmas. And even in Fallout 4's tracks, Danny Kaye, who is opposite Bing Crosby in that film, has he's the one that does Bingo Bango Bongo.
I do love that song.
That's a good one.
That song and was the Ink Spots? Is that what they're called? The I Don't Want to Set the World on the Ink Fire. Spots,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've noticed, I guess, it wasn't necessarily only them, but kind of that initial riff, like that that was like very popular, I feel like, wasn't it? For a lot of songs.
Yeah, I think that, and even it's used in this podcast. It's used in a lot of the first time that you do something. So when you first walk into the town, your like town that you like had your family in, that intro plays very quietly in the background, which I think is an interesting little musical thing as you walk in, as the quest dialogue, I believe, pops in. As you come in the sanctuary for the first time, you have that. So I think the music is interesting, and we're going to have an episode later on with a guy who plays ragtime banjo, and we're going to be talking about Appalachian music, the history of the banjo, as well as tunes from the 40s and 50s, which this guy plays professionally with his group and tours around. And he plays a rendition of I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire on banjo. It's very, very nice.
My friends always thought I was weird because I actually, after playing Fallout, enjoy listening to those songs. It gives you like an appreciation for it almost when you're just kind of thrown into it, because it's really, you know, you listen to that or you listen to the patriotic, what was the other radio station, Enclave Radio or whatever,
John Henry
blah blah blah. I'm like, it was that or just listen to silence, basically. So you kind of are forced to get into this like 50s groove. I remember at first I was like, oh God, I don't want to listen to this. And then, you know, like a couple weeks in, I'm sitting here like singing every song word for word. Like,
right. I mean, and that happens even years, like you don't pick up a game for the year and you're still thinking about the songs because that's all you heard. And yeah.
I think when I started playing Fallout last week, I could still pretty much recite every song. Like it never really leaves you at that point. So I'm excited to see going into West Virginia, what they'll choose. Sort of like,
well,
there's got to be an Appalachian feel.
There's
got
to
be
a feel to it. And it's interesting because if I'm correct chronologically, and I'm pulling this one straight out of my butt here. Chronologically, I think Country Roads is the newest song that they, like, as far as like year it was recorded.
Yeah.
It's one of the newer ones because they rarely include stuff out of the 60s.
That's why I almost feel like they won't actually put it in the game. I could see it being more of a they could have already said it's going
to
be.
They're putting it in the game. They hired a production company to re-record the song. They probably have rights to it. They're selling it on iTunes.
I guess
they're
going to
have
it
in the game. It's going to be like the main thing, you know?
I'm hoping that there are some other just like Appalachian-rooted songs. Just some sort of, I don't know. And I think going along with the folklore, like there's probably some songs they could pull about folklore and stuff like that. So that would be cool. One thing I hadn't thought, you know, like John Henry, you wonder if there's going to be any John Henry references.
You're probably going to have some John Henry references. Yeah. I'd imagine that they would.
There's a lot of songs about John Henry.
Right. So. I'd imagine that a lot of the mainline West Virginia stories, like Capitals and McCoys, which I want to do an episode on. I'd imagine there's going to be something in the game about those things, because it's like you can't talk about West Virginia without talking about those stories.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah. All right, folks, that's it for today. Don't forget to email us your questions at vaultboyswv@gmail.com. That's vaultboyswv@gmail.com. Check us out on social media at VaultBoysWV. I've learned how to use Twitter. I'm using Twitter.
The tweeter.
If you want to know more facts about the episode, see some pictures, see some photos, kind of get a better understanding of what we're talking about, and communicate with me, Twitter is a great way to do it, and my email is a great way to do it for the podcast. But for now, the vault door is closing. Stay safe.